Water.
Earth.
Fire.
Air. This is, what were you saying? This is Yip Yip.
Hooray!
Avatar Podcast. Are you ready?
Yeah, I was actually going to have a beer with Dan at 2:45, and then I was going to have a cigar with Grandpa today, but I'm not sure that's going to be possible.
Man, just birthday partying all day, Troy.
What is it, your birthday all day?
Maybe.
You're 28?
Some people celebrate their birthdays all month long.
Some people...
Okay, we have to talk about Troy and Katie's relationship, because they've known each other now... Officially, 28 days, yet Katie...
28 days.
Sorry, dude. Man.
Yikes. Each other. Who doesn't have it together?
28 days.
Troy and I got it.
You know, it's like Zombie. It was like that zombie movie, 28 days later. 28 years. And Katie today was like, Troy, how old are you? 24? 25?
Hey, I don't know. I mean, how old am I? Troy, do you know how old I am?
You're 31.
Don't say that.
Wow.
You just know that because you did the math.
I just did the math.
Well, if my sister is, 3 years older.
How old's Jordan?
Than me,
he's 30.
God, okay. We are so old.
Okay.
God.
Well, now that everybody knows everything.
But I gotta say, your taste in shows is like that of fine wine. Like,
thank you.
The more you watch, like, you watch a show and you have all these pages of notes ready to discuss it at a dinner party later.
Yeah. So if you've
someone invite us to dinner.
And then I can have
You can have like a whole bottle of Cabernet just talking about season 3 with somebody.
Troy said glass of like a bottle of wine, but then he just had like his hand like in a snifter,
yeah,
like
yeah.
As if I was holding the bottle like
swirling
that.
Swirling it. All right.
Speaking of which,
welcome back to Yip Yip Hooray.
Another Avatar podcast.
It's not another. It is an Avatar podcast.
No, I think
he said
an Avatar.
I said something.
He did. He said lots of words. We'll figure it out in post.
All right.
We're starting book 3,
yes,
Fire. And I would just like to welcome you all. Flameo, my dear Hotman. Flameo.
Flameo.
Okay, let's talk about Aang's hair.
Let's talk about Sokka's beard.
Let's talk. I mean, it's been a hairy couple of episodes. So, anybody, were you surprised that Aang had a full head of hair?
Yeah, I kind of forgot about it.
Yeah, it's been a hairy and a heavy couple of episodes.
Hairy, heavy.
H and H.
So, Troy said an expletive when he saw Aang's head of hair. What did you think when you saw hairy Aang?
Oh, I was just like, here we go.
Why were you mad?
Why is it every time? I feel like that has to be Troy's reaction. Ugh, Avatar.
I'm so disappointed. Why does he have hair?
Yeah, I mean, how long's it been? Weeks? I mean, hair's grown fast. And then I'm like, when is he shaving it? And what is he using? Like, how does he maintain that every day?
He shaves his head every day, according to series lore. Also...
With what?
With like a little razor thing.
So seeing his hair, I've got to beg the question, what is Aang's ethnicity?
He is, I mean, as a Buddhist type monk, probably like Tibetan-ish,
okay,
I would say.
Gotcha. I didn't know that. Every time I see an image of a Tibetan monk, they're bald. So I was just like, do they have the hair color right for a Tibetan monk?
I mean, I just imagine everyone just kind of has dark hair in the series. Yeah. I don't think we've seen, like, someone with, like, blonde hair.
No, we haven't.
Which is awesome. I love that. Stop whitewashing everything, guys.
All right.
Aang has hair, and I remember for the first time I saw that, it, like, tripped me out because this episode premiered September 21st, 2007, which was my senior year in high school. So as we've addressed, Avatar just followed me through high school.
Jordan wakes up senior year like, oh my god, that's how I started senior year.
It's how Aang's
got hair.
So Nickelodeon did like this huge like teaser preview thing for the first 10 episodes of the first half of the season. They spoiled so much. There was so many things, but I was desperate to see what was going on with Avatar. This is before I swore off trailers, right? So it was like, season 3, the final season of Avatar. Mm-hmm. And then like it cuts to Aang with like his full head of hair, and he's like, I've got to redeem myself. But then they go to show you like what happens pretty much verbatim the next 10 episodes. And then there's huge spoilers for these 10 episodes. And so I knew what was going to happen. Like the whole time I was like, I saw things. I was like, that's not going to work out.
awesome.
Oh, so
spoilers.
Don't watch trailers, guys.
Yeah.
Okay. Right. And then Sokka.
If you don't want spoilers, don't subscribe to Netflix.
Yeah, guys. Just don't watch anything. Don't look at anything. Don't read papers. Don't read. Stop
literacy.
Be like
the blind bandit.
So also, Katie noticed that Sokka looked different too.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. He mature.
No, he's like his hair. His head's.
His head.
His head's got hair.
Mm-hmm. Oh, did he like?
Because he shaved the side of his head. He didn't cut it.
Sokka's
got a new haircut.
Let's not forget. Guess who else has a ponytail now?
Everyone's rocking ponytails. Yeah, Zuko's got new hair.
No,
Zuko's got a girlfriend.
That's just adds to my disappointment. Like Zuko,
it's
like
a makeout party. I was like, whatever. Get out of here.
You know, Zuko hasn't. Well, he did kiss Jin, who got a cameo in this episode. The tea girl. He's like, I brought you some coupons. My uncle thinks you're our most valuable customer.
Yeah.
She got a cameo in this episode when the Fire Nation is occupying Ba Sing Se. You go past the OG tea shop, and she's totally like in the background, still looking for love in that tea shop. But yeah, Mei comes up on this ship, and he's like, hey, are you cold? And Zuko's like, I haven't been home in 3 years. So much has changed. I've changed.
It's like, I didn't ask you that.
Like, I don't care if you're...
I just came to kiss your sweet mouth, Zuko.
Jesus.
Yeah, and then we see Sokka and Katara's dad, and Katara's like mad at him.
Okay, so you are a woman with a father. Could you relate to that scene?
Well, no.
I mean, your father's never left to go to war?
Right, and then I was like mad at him for abandoning us. I don't know, Troy? As a daughter, what do you have to say?
Peterson lore says that Troy is the second best daughter in the family.
Yeah, I don't know. I've heard many rumors that Katie was disappointed that I was not a little sister.
No, that's not a rumor. That's a fact.
So that's a fact.
So 28 years ago today,
I went to the hospital expecting to see my little baby sister. And I said something to my mom. I was like, oh, is this my sister? And she's like, no, it's your like new baby brother. And
no, idiot.
Yeah, we had one of those.
Frowny face at you like, no, this is your brother. God, what's wrong with you? And Katie like elbows her, almost drops me.
Send it back.
Katie and I exclusively have brothers, and it's been so much that we want to write like a show called Our Five Brothers. So yes. If anyone's listening, don't steal that.
I personally cannot relate to Katara's pain, but I definitely have a well amount of friends that have abandonment issues because one or both of the parents left when they were an early kid, and those are it's pain that I'll never be able to feel, but I can. It's one thing to understand it, to just be able to listen to their story. And when I bring them around my parents, it's like they don't know how to handle both the parents at the same time.
It's true. I mean, Troy's looking at me the whole time. I can relate to Katara. I can relate to Katara because my dad left when I was a kid. And so it was under different circumstances, obviously. He didn't go to war. But yeah, looking at Katara just being like, just confused and angry and upset, and also being able to rationalize it. And also, like, those feelings kind of coming up in, like, random conversations. I'm like, yeah, this tracks.
And at the same time, Katie and I, we have an older brother who's way older than we are.
He's, like, 40 years older than you.
He's not that much older.
No, I just like to make it... way older than you. I just want to make it sound dramatic.
He's 8 years older than me.
So I just remember, I did not have parents that left us, but we did have a brother who had to go off to war due to the September 11th attacks back in 2000, and he joined the army when I was 8 years old, and that was a similar feeling because all my friends that they didn't have their parents growing up, they sure had their siblings that were like 2, 3, 4, 5 years younger or older than them, so they were constantly hanging out with their siblings while my siblings were out doing their own things. One was at war and the other one was going to school 5 grades above me. So that's where I can relate to Katara's abandonment issues. I didn't feel it from the parents' viewpoint, but more from like the siblings' viewpoint.
Gotcha. I did really like that scene with Katara and Hakoda at the end of the episode when she's crying and she's being embraced. I thought that was a really powerful voice performance by Mae Whitman, Katara's voice actress. Mm-hmm. Like, one of the best she's had, I think. And it really showed a lot of really good character depth with Katara. And I really enjoyed the relationship she has with her father. I thought he was really well, like, grounded and really kind of realistic, and he wasn't sugarcoating anything.
Right. I feel like he allowed her the space to feel all the emotions that she was feeling. Yeah, and to not try to be dismissive of that. And so that was... Yeah, it was really good.
It was interesting in this episode with that scene paralleled what was happening with Zuko. He was having his own interaction with his father. And also interesting, it's like these children who are reconnecting with their fathers after X amount of years. I think both are 3 years, I think, is how long they've been apart. And it's interesting to see Katara be emotional and have her father, like, console her and not talk down to her anything. And then you have Zuko, who probably goes in with, like, a chip on his shoulder to see his father he hasn't seen. And you don't get a sense of sincerity in that relationship.
Right, and he's saying, I'm proud of you because, you know, you didn't, you weren't, like, your treacherous uncle, and that kind of stings. Obviously, Zuko's like, ugh. And, it was just, that Fire Lord. Get him out of there.
Yeah, I just, no wonder I wrote Zuko off. Then we meet the dad. I'm like, oh, that's the reason why that kid's got issues.
So Ozai, he looked really funky to me.
He definitely looked funky. I was really? Like, is this what he looked like the whole time?
I mean, for me, like, his face looks like it's too small for his body, and then his, like, facial hair is kind of funky, but his model is supposed to be...
Who voiced Ozai?
Mark Hamill.
So I swear to God, it feels like they made...
To God.
They made Ozai have, like, a presence like Darth Vader.
So I'll see. I mean, Luke, he knew what he was doing. So, he was modeled... He was supposed to be... like an older looking Zuko minus the scar is how they modeled him. So he's kind of fugly. But I don't know. This is the first time in the series that we've seen Ozai's face. And so I don't know. They don't really make a huge deal of it. But it's still like, oh, we haven't seen your face this whole time. Do you remember that?
We haven't?
No, I mean, we've seen parts of his face. Like, we've seen, like, his mouth scowl once.
Huh.
And usually he's like... enveloped in shadows. Even like when during the Agni Kai when he burns Zuko and that in memory, he's still like in shadows. So what do we think about Azula giving Zuko credit for killing Aang?
I really got nothing. I just yeah.
As we know, Azula always lies.
Right. I mean, Azula's looking out for Azula. I think that's the takeaway, is Azula doesn't really care about Zuko, and you know, right, she cares about herself, and she doesn't want to put herself in a compromised situation and wants to make sure that she's going to be okay, because if she had killed the Avatar, which they do discuss, Aang was like, oh, you know, I was, like, gone, and Katara, you brought me back. So I feel like that's clarification that he indeed did die.
Yes.
And was able to be brought back.
Oh, yeah.
And I kind of forgot, like, the world thinks that Aang's dead, and anyway...
So, yeah, stuck on that, the world thinks Aang's dead. Do you think that's a good idea? Like, to keep Aang a secret?
Yes. Honestly, they say all warfare is based on the art of deception.
Oh.
So, I mean, it's the oldest trick in the book. I feel like the first episode of this whole season was, like, written or directed or filmed on Father's Day. Just because it's just so daddy heavy. I'm just like, good God.
Daddy heavy.
Daddy heavy.
As opposed to heavy daddies, which is a whole other thing.
Oh, God.
All right, so back to Azula really quick.
Yeah.
In the Avatar extras, something happens, and there's like a blip that comes up on the screen and gives you like some trivia. And in this one, at some point it popped up, and it said something about how Azula was conniving, backstabbing, and pure evil are words that describe her. But then the next bubble that popped up, it says, and I quote, and yet surprisingly attractive. So, again, Azula's a 15-year-old girl.
Yeah, and that was probably like not a 15-year-old who said that.
Yeah.
No, it was probably someone like me, some 30-year-old man.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
I, for the record, do not find Azula attractive.
So,
some heavy daddy that said that.
A heavy daddy that said that? No! God, no!
Yeah.
Too far.
All right. I don't know about that fun fact.
More trivia about this episode.
No.
Dr. Movie is done.
Good.
There's no more episodes of Dr. Movie.
They got fired.
Interestingly.
Took them two seasons to figure it out.
Interestingly enough, though, the secondary animation studio to accompany JM is Moi. Animation, M-O-I, still a South Korean animation studio based in Seoul with a French name. But Moi Animation is a spin-off studio of Dr. Movie. So it lives on because you could see Katara's eyes, big and bulgy, yeah, and kind of going together.
I feel like they just screwed up Aang's hair.
What?
But I know, I understand now why, by the second episode, you understand why Aang has to have the hair grow out in order to disguise himself and fit in with the Fire Nation school. That's the sole reason why he's got to have hair.
So what did we think about Aang being so adamant that he did not want to cover his arrow?
I don't know why he would not want to cover it up. That's just that's an advantage that he just wants to really just throw away. But I'm like, train hard and live to fight another day, man. Don't uncover the arrow, especially when you know that you're feeling a little weak right now.
What? It's like you got that like man pride going on. You know, he wakes up and this is like, what's happening? I'm like 0 to 60, he's ready to go kick some booty.
Yeah,
and
personally, there'd be no way I could feel man pride if I had an arrow on my forehead.
But right,
what?
Maybe a lightning bolt.
No way. What? Okay, Harry. No,
some
I.
Some glasses too.
Wait, so you aren't pro the airbending tattoos?
They're okay, but I feel like the one on the forehead is just a little overkill.
What? It's very on the nose. You're like, oh wait, that's an airbending master.
Yes. No, I just thought it was interesting how, grow out the hair, put on a headband, boom, he's in disguise. I'm like, genius writing.
Well, all he lacked was a mustache. Good thing Sokka brought that.
I know, and took it.
So also in this episode, we get a lot of parallels. We have the father parallels, the heavy daddies, if you will.
Aang wants his honor back.
Exactly. And so I thought that was a really interesting scene. And it was very obvious because then they immediately pan over to Zuko, mm-hmm. his scar, the scar side of Zuko, which I don't know if the scar side of Zuko is his bad side or his good side.
I think it's the side that, you know, it's very defining, you know, and like for better, for worse. I mean, it's just, I think it can just be a neutral thing, but it's a part of him now. And it's something that has shaped just his current reality and like just how, like, right, it changed him.
Yeah.
You know, and regardless of whether or not Troy's happy with Zuko, you know, he's just...
But it is interesting in this episode that the episode The Awakening begins with, basically, we're coming from the perspective that both Aang and Zuko have failed.
Yes. We're kind of at this super low point. And right, and Zuko, his honor is, like, kind of restored, but kind of
it's
not.
It's a false restoration.
Yeah, and obviously Zuko's not really feeling that great about it.
You definitely get that vibe, like, the second Zuko even comes out and they're, like, reintroduced by the creepy, creepy Lo and Lee, those two haggard women.
Oh, yeah, I kind of like them.
And
yeah.
The Fire Nation won! And brought the Fire Nation down! And it's creepy.
I was like, is the crowd going to clap for Zuko, or is everyone going to be like,
Because I think it's...
That's not Zuko.
Where's your big ponytail?
How could they hear the... How could they hear those two ladies? Like, that's a stadium, but neither of those ladies had a microphone on.
They've been practicing.
They're projecting, Troy.
I guess so.
You've been on stage. You know the importance of projecting your voice.
In a closed building.
Mm.
Okay, so back to, like, Aang's little issue of just feeling like he's got to go take on the world and he's got to fix it right now. And it was so annoying.
It was so rash. It was, I think, a moment of desperation. He was like, I don't want anyone else to get hurt. I died. And it was almost like a sacrificial thing.
Right. And I was like, what's your goal right now? To go die? Because, like, right now as you're flying into the storm, kind of, getting, like, beat up by the waves. He's like, oh, let me hang on to the log. And then, you know, Roku and Yue show up for their pep talk. And it kind of re-energizes him. And it's like, okay, it's time to windsurf.
Anyway. Do we think it was kind of weird that Yue showed up? Then,
I mean, it was an interesting, like, Roku and Yue.
It was like I think they tried to shoehorn maybe too many, like, spirit guides on him at once.
Well, Roku kind of gave his own spoiler in his own way when he says, Aang, you've inherited my mistakes and my problems. I should have, you're fighting a war that I should have seen coming and prevented. I'm like, so 100 years ago, what was Avatar Roku up to, or when he was the Avatar, what was Avatar Roku like? What was he doing on the Earth? Like, Does he have some sort of special friendship with the Fire Nation?
That well, he was fire, as we know.
Exactly. So that did not go so well.
It was interesting that Roku presented it like, you can redeem me. Mm-hmm. And like, so I don't know how the world perceives Avatar Roku.
And I kind of feel like, I hate to say it, but I kind of feel like some of the older generations on Earth right now are kind of looking at millennials and Generation Zs like, can you guys redeem us? Like, fix the mistakes that we've made? And the younger generation's like, are you kidding us?
I think some people feel that way. There's other people in power that are like, what's the problem?
Or it's like, you can fix it after we die.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Anyway.
Oh, man.
Okay, wait. So then Aang, like, washes ashore, you know, and then the gang, it's like this emotional reunion.
But like, then, don't leave us.
I know. It was crazy. But then, what'd you think about him, like, burning the glider?
He did it a lot cooler than I thought he was going to do. I thought he was just going to, like, pull it out, like, throw it into the lava.
But wasn't it just kind of sad? Or were you happy to see it go?
I was very happy to see it go.
Why were you happy to see the glider go?
It was pretty lame watching him fly around that thing.
You didn't like the glider?
No, I never
Why was it lame?
I don't know.
What do you want him to do? That's cool. He's flying.
Whoa, bring it down, J-Man.
It's cool. He's flying.
Yeah. Well, he can ride the waves. He can ride the rocks like...
He is an airbender. He is the last airbender, as the title suggests. He's the only person, aside from like the people in the Northern Air Temple, who can like ride on the air
currents. I just thought, Zuko, they failed miserably with his character growth, but they still got a good shot with Aang. And I just thought him throwing down the glider and watching it burn, I was like, okay. They did say Book 3 is fire.
You know, maybe it's a sign of growth. I mean, I think it's, like, bittersweet to see the glider go. I mean, I come kind of like Troy. You know, I'm like, yeah.
The glider's been super cool.
Whatever. It's fine.
But the glider's, like, it's a tangible physical item tying him to his past.
He's 12 years old, so he's bound to get a little heavier as he gets older.
Heavy like, daddy.
He's going to become a heavy daddy one of these days. He's going to have, like, a...
But yeah, it was sad to see this.
You don't need him 40 years old. Belly sticking out, like flying on that.
He's still going.
I know.
I got kind of teary-eyed when the glider was going down.
I'm sorry.
So, and then we go to the next episode, The Headband, which this episode was done by JM Animation. And I feel like, I don't know how you guys felt. Again, this is like the 700th time I've seen these episodes. It was like spectacular animation. I was like, JM was like on point. It was way better than like JM Animation did for The Crossroads of Destiny, their last episode they did, the season 2 finale. It was so good. Like, the way they were moving was really smooth. All their art style was really good. I was like, damn, guys.
Well, wouldn't it be nice if every episode was like that?
Yeah, so Nickelodeon, I'd like for you to remaster everything. You have the voice recordings. That's fine. Keep that. You have half of the series already done with JM. Just get rid of the moi and the Doctor movie, and we'll be good.
Can we talk about the crew stealing the clothes?
Were you happy about that?
No.
Why?
But, I mean, I don't see what the other option was.
Their
I guess.
People is responsible for the cultural genocide of the Air Nomads.
Well,
that's true. They owe Aang a set of clothes and at least a few other pairs of clothes, too. Which led to a really great scene of Toph being like, well, I should probably wear shoes like a normal person. But here, I'm going to blow out the soles and hit Sokka in the face.
See, isn't that like such a sweet love story?
Sokka and Toph or
yes,
Sokka shoes?
Do.
Toffa.
Toffa. Yeah,
not Soph.
It totally Soph. Rings.
No,
sofa.
Okay, so
sofa.
Aang gets picked up because he doesn't want to eat the meat, so he's gonna go dig for lettuce in the garbage.
Okay, this was a great episode for Aang. I feel like Aang is like he's like had a like a real, like a real, really strong character moments. Like
you
he was
somebody from the Titanic era, put him in this era, boom, you got Aang. How he's trying to blend into Fire Nation.
Hotman. Stay flaming.
Flamio.
Hotman. What do you think those people were thinking? They're like, what's this kid saying? Like some old age? Like, what's the equivalent? What's a saying we were saying like 100 years ago?
Good day.
23? Good day? What are we in Australia?
I found out that at one point in history, when you ask somebody their name, you'd say, you know, what's your name? Johnny. All right. Johnny, how much? And you're not saying how much money they have. You're actually asking them what their last name is.
Oh, Johnny, how much?
Yeah.
Okay. So Aang goes to school, and the kids ask him if he wants to play hide and explode.
But then Aang comes...
All the classic games.
Yeah.
What happens in hide and explode? Are all the kids firebenders, or are there, like claymores hidden in the dirt?
I don't know. And then, obviously there's not a lot of fun happening in the Fire Nation, which, when did that happen? 100 years ago?
No.
Maybe.
So apparently, according to series lore, the Fire Nation actually was like an artistic capital. They enjoyed the arts, as Aang showed off with his dance moves. And yeah, obviously when you are trapped in a perpetual war trying to expand an empire across the world, yeah, but I don't know.
And all those kids are like in training, you know, it's like this kind of brainwash. You need to pledge yourself to the Fire Lord and do everything for your country.
Do we assume it was kind of like a military school?
It is.
Right, but you also assume that that's all schooling is what I'm saying. Mm. It's like that's where we're at.
Let's talk about the bully.
Let's talk about the bully.
The bully who was like 23.
He's like, oh, my girlfriend is 10.
And also, my girlfriend, yeah, who is 10. Ugh. Yeah, he had like a chiseled jaw.
Yeah, no, it was weird.
His girlfriend, Anjay, who I don't think they actually were girlfriend, boyfriend. He was just being a creepy boy.
Well, and I was like disappointed that she couldn't speak up for herself, like, oh, ignore him, or like, oh, we're not together, or yeah, he's my, I mean, I don't know. Yeah. Come on, you guys. She couldn't say anything about it?
No, yeah. Like, silence by violence, or violence by silence.
Silence by violence.
Oh, God.
So, her voice actress, Anji, is current famous singer Tinashe.
Oh, really?
Yeah, really.
Do you even know Tinashe?
I don't know Tinashe.
Oh, really? My interest has been piqued.
It's really interesting. Is that how she got her start?
I don't know. Also, I'm pretty sure Serena Williams. I think it was Serena. I don't think it was Venus. I don't have to look it up. One of them voices someone in this season.
Hmm.
So what do we think about meeting like the actual civilians of the Fire Nation? Because the only people that we've been introduced so far are like the royal family or people who are enlisted in like the army.
Yes.
Or the Navy or whatever. So what do we think about actually meeting people who are just civilians in the Fire Nation?
I look at them and I'm like, finally the human side of the Fire Nation. People that were, I mean, it feels like they pretty much cut and paste the society from 1939 Germany.
Why Germany? Why not Japan?
Because in Germany, it felt like, at one point in time, I read a fact that like only 10% of Nazi Germany was actually like SS Waffen soldiers, like 90% of the nation. They were scared of Hitler, and so they just kind of, like, support him, and they went along with it, but they didn't actually, like, completely agree with him. And that's where the Fire Nation is like, you know, we will go to school, we will learn military tactics, and we will play instruments towards the Fire Nation, not because we're artistic, but just because we're kind of, like, scared of the guy more than we agree with him.
I would agree it's more like Japan in the sense that you have your figurehead, Ozai, and he's the one who's going to protect your country, and you love your country. And I was getting the vibe that people weren't necessarily scared, but they had a lot. It was very nationalistic. And I bring the Japanese comparison up mostly because the Fire Nation is modeled after Japan, and it's based off of, like, an archipelago of islands like Japan. And they were, like, industrializing, going to war, and wanting to, quote-unquote, expand and share their wealth with the rest of East Asia. And so that might just be the propaganda that the Fire Nation citizens have been fed, that they're actually doing a great good and a great service for the rest of the world. Yeah, so it was interesting to meet the citizens and to see that the Fire Nation isn't all, like, hyper scary. Like, there's just, like, normal people walking around, and there's, like, people with souls, and, like, the children of the Fire Nation weren't explicitly bad and hadn't necessarily been taught to be evil, but they were being miseducated by, in their schooling, they were being taught Fire Nation propaganda.
Right, which is the thing that happens all over the world, and, you know, history books aren't always accurate.
And as we know, history is written by the winners.
Mm-hmm.
And so, because the Fire Nation eradicated the Air Nation, as they describe, you can say whatever you want about them. You can say they had an army. You can say they wanted to strike the first blow. You could say they were an imminent threat because no one else is going to stand up and say anything against it. And so it was probably really disturbing for Aang to hear this teacher teaching the children that, one, they weren't being described as air nomads, like peaceful monks. They're being described as like a functioning nation, which implies that they have some sort of like figurehead or ruling body. And then the fact that they also described the Air Nation is having an army also implies that they were, like, warmongering. And then Aang gets to stand up and be like, well, there was actually no formal military with the Air Nomads. And so all the kids kind of, like, their jaws hit the ground. They're like, what's this kid, like, saying?
Right. And I think the kids want to believe and they want to know the truth. And yeah, and it was really, I think, really sweet that Aang wanted to throw these kids, like, a dance party and teach them something really about their culture. And he taught, you know, some dances of the world and give them some fun and just a different experience. I mean, I think there was a great turnout to the dance.
I think everyone came except for, like, the chiseled boy.
Well, he eventually showed up.
Right.
And, like, the candles in the cave. It was nice.
Where did they get the candles? Did they steal the candles?
Exactly.
They did have Fire Nation money, though, because they went and bought accessories.
Where did you get the Fire Nation band players?
Right. Were they from school? Were they from school?
According to the series lore, they came from the school.
Yeah, yeah.
And they could play that whole time.
So, speaking of instruments, when they were in music class, when Aang was playing his instrument, that was the Sungi horn, which is what Iroh plays during music night.
Ah.
Also, he was dancing like a madman during music class. Like, what are you doing?
He was feeling it. Aang hasn't had any fun. So I think this was good that he finally was able to just kind
of I know a couple people chill. That can dance like that while playing a Sungi horn.
I feel like I would do that when I was playing my tuba in pet band.
I was just about to say that.
Yeah.
I dance with that tuba.
Hell yeah.
So did we get Footloose vibes from this episode?
Right, that these kids just want to dance and the adults come and shut it down. And it was nice that all the kids, you know, put their headbands on because they had them. I don't know.
Right. Well, they were their, like, belts.
Mm.
Yeah, that's what he was putting on his head.
I did not get any Footloose vibes. What I got was when Aang and Katara started dancing together and he got into, like, fighting and they're swinging
like
kicks.
Backflips?
What?
They're doing, like, backflips and stuff.
They were kicking over each other's heads. I'm just like, I really hope they coordinated that well. I would hate for Aang to just actually get Katara right in the face. And then I'm also like, don't blow your cover. Don't blow your cover. Don't blow your cover. Like, you got all those Fire Nation kids. Don't blow your cover.
And what's the difference between doing bending moves and then actually bending? Because I was like, at any moment, I was expecting Aang to, like, generate some wind or something. I was like,
Yeah, so no Footloose, just more like, don't blow your cover, don't blow your cover.
Were we into, like, that dreamy sequence with Aang and Katara dancing?
No.
Oh, baby. I was into it. I was like, yeah, dance, guys.
Wait, you know what I was
this
into?
Is true love.
I was into Sokka and Katara being mom and dad.
Wang Fire and Sapphire Fire?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
That was way funnier than I remember it being.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Also, there's no way they're going to pass off as this kid's parents.
I think they could have.
I like how they went so far as to make Katara look pregnant in that parent-teacher conference.
Ah, Wang Fire. I can't remove this beard. It's permanently glued to my face. Perfect. Okay.
Were you into the dance sequence?
I was. I was absolutely into the dance sequence because
like sweating.
Anytime Aang and Katara are in a cave, good times happen.
Mm.
Also, Appa historically does not like being in caves. Seems pretty.
I don't know. He wants to be in the cave. He wants to dance.
I got Footloose vibes from Appa for sure.
Okay. Speaking of vibes, we have Zuko who. Oh, is having like all sorts of issues with Iroh. That was real sad to watch.
Yeah, Iroh doesn't say anything.
Which is, I think, the first time in the series where Iroh is in an episode but has no lines of dialogue.
When you're really experiencing these different emotions that Zuko's going through, it's like these high points and low points, and he's just, you know, he's being kind of sweet with his uncle. There's a lot of remorse, and then he's like angry, and he's not
getting what he wants.
He's just, yeah.
But yeah, isn't that it? Like you want what you can't have, and every time Iroh gave him some good life advice, like usually Zuko, I'm assuming internalized it to some degree, but usually let it slide off. And now, when he actually needs that advice and is seeking that advice, Iroh is not going to give it to him.
Because during this episode, they're probably busy casting a new person to voice the character of Iroh. I'm just like, I was like waiting for Iroh to speak. I was like, who replaced the guy? Because
Gilbert Gottfried. Okay, so what do you think's gonna happen with Zuko and Iroh?
Well, the show's made very clear to me that there is no Zuko without Iroh.
A lot of his soul is kind of damaged without that presence in his life. Or, like, just casting out and not accepting Iroh.
Call this the craziest analogy ever, but I'm like, Zuko and Iroh is like peanut Batman and Joker.
What? No, that's not correct. That's not correct at all. It's like Batman and Alfred. Batman and Alfred.
Maybe.
God. Okay, so at the very end of this episode, we are introduced to a new character we haven't seen because Zuko is now going to take matters into his own hands because he's like, hey,
paranoid.
Aang's still alive. Azula knows that Aang's still alive too, I bet. I gotta do something. So he hires somebody? What'd that guy look like to you?
He looked like one of those sore loser wrestlers that the blind bandit threw off the stage.
Yeah, we're gonna find out he's an earthbender. It's the Boulder.
Yep,
he's gone through some rough times.
He looks like the Boulder.
He's got like this crazy like tattoo or birthmark on his forehead,
like the third eye.
Third eye.
He's struggling with his chakras,
and parts of him are metal.
Yeah, we're gonna find out.
Sue.
Also, Toph had a nice quote. She says, "I think she's what she says." So they to Aang about you taught those kids to be free. Wasn't that nice?
Toph also had another line where Aang got to tell Sokka that he gets to be normal all the time when he had, like, the beard. And Toph goes, ha ha! All right, kids. Well, the next couple episodes are The Painted Lady and Sokka's Master. So, yummy. All right, well, until next time, may you also get the Flameos to participate in a dance for you and play some music. Flameo Hotmans.
Cheerio Hotmans.
No, not Cheerio. Flameo. Flaming Hot Cheerios.
Flameo Hotmans.
Yip, yip.
Cheerio.
Hot.
Yip, yip, hot, hot.
Cheerio.
Testing.
Hi, if I speak close.
How you doing?
Yeah, let's speak at the same time.
Okay.
What? Huh?
What? Yeah. Hi, it's Jordan. Welcome to Crispy Crunch.
Munchy Munch.
What?